Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the first.
Okay.
A lot of minutes of silence.
Actually, I was reading the handout. I thought I was going to get to read it before the class, and I got a telephone call, so I didn't get to read it. So I was kind of looking at it, because when you
chose
the title, it kind of sparked an extra interest.
Has joined.
A part one and a part two, so.
Yes, I'm going to try and do both.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay, I'm going to mute since we've got enough. So.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Mana Bekoa Gedula Chimincha Dati Erura
has joined.
Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Saharene Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudha Givavat Shamein Nun Gimel Dalet Yutkashin Barhem Tacharem Rachame Sikatha Tamid Gamlem Tet Resh.
Has joined.
Pasin Kadosh. Berov Tucha. Nael Adata. Ket Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. Yachid Geyeh. Lamcha Pene. Zokre Kidushata. Yud Gimalamet, Pezayan Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushmatsiakatenu, Yodea Talumo, Shin Kufal, Tzadi Yud Tav. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohewahe, Adonai Yohewahe, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apaim, Merav Chesed Ve'emet, Notzer chesed la'alafim, Nosea on wafesha, v'chata'a v'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It's known as Pasuk 29 from Parashat Yitro. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tane Nandukucha Barihu Koma de Aved Leila Witata Kolaihu Kishot Vilvada Dikshot Vilait Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Ledach Yalea Mineya ulan haga beya kalana tehakuhu ovada dikshotinun ukola itzirich the alma. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study a verse from the Tanakh that connects to that energy. The verse we study is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Withamti makom liami li Israel, untati vishakan, takta willo yergaz, od willo yosifu, bene avlala anoto, ka asher barishoda. The energy of our current year, 5781, is the redemption, providing the children of Israel are prepared for the redemption. One of the ways we do that preparation is by learning a verse from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 21. Wagam mehem ekach akohanim lalivim. Amar Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter out loud in sequence. Wahe Wayo Sayote Alame Mehe Shila Lahe Aka Akaheta Ezayo Alada La Awahea Yozala Mebe Hey Reyo Eko Me La Awaka Layo La Wawa Pehe La Nula Ha Yo 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 Me La Hey 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 Wa Nuta. Rabbi Amram Chasida, known as the Amora. Rabbi Elazar Menachem Mann and Rabbi Azriel Shach. Rabbi Reb Shlomo Karlbach. I'm sure you're all familiar with his name. We will say the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach in a whisper. We'll now connect to the Ma meditation, which is a tool we use to climb the tree. That's the tree of life. Malchut, Ye aheni wa yohe, Yo aheni wa yohe, Yo aheni wa yohe, Yusod, Yu ahuni wu yohu, Yu ahuni wu yohu, Yu ahuni wu yohu, Hod, Yu ahuni wu yohu, Yu ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wuyo hu netzach. Ye ahini wuyo hi. Ye ahini wuyo hi. Ye ahini wuyo hi. Tiferet. Yo ahuni wuyo ho. Yo ahuni wuyo ho. Yo ahuni wuyo ho. Yugura. Ye ash. Ni wuyo. Ya'ash, niwiyosh. Ya'ash, niwiyosh. Chesed, ya'ahe niweyohe. Ya'ahe niweyohe. Ya'ahe niweyohe. Bina, ya'ahe niweyohe. Ya'ahe niweyohe. Ya'ahe niweyohe. Hasma, ya ahani wa yoha, ya ahani wa yoha, ya ahani wa yoha. Keter, ya ahani wa yoha, ya ahani wa yoha, ya ahani wa yoha. And we will now begin our class. You will find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In row 14, the second column from the left, we'll open up to a landing page of the writings of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria. Scroll down to Parasha Vayera, and you'll find four links under that Parasha. The third one begins Sparks in Sodom, Part 1. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bitkilu Urchimud Hilu Tilu Urchimu Le'afta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe Yehudah Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasof Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konaneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konanehu. Hashem wanted to bring forth the souls of Israel that had been stored away from before creation until this moment. This week's Torah reading includes the story of how Sodom and Amorah were destroyed. We will now explain the mystical explanation of the story of Sodom and Amorah. We will also explain why the three angels, Mikhail, who announced to Abraham that Sarah was going to have a child, Gabriel, who overturned Sodom, and Raphael, who rescued Lot, each of whom came to fulfill a separate mission, all came together at once instead of one after the other. Inasmuch as each of these angels had a separate mission, it would seem that there is no reason why they all visited Abraham at once. They did so because it was necessary. The angel Michael's or Mikhail's mission to announce to Abraham that he was going to father Isaac was similar to the missions of Gabriel and Raphael to destroy Sodom and to save Lot. As we will see, therefore, these two missions had to occur at the same time. Gabriel's and Raphael's missions are combined into one for this exposition, because destroying Sodom was also part of rescuing Lot, as will be explained. First, the Arizal discusses Mikhail's mission. God wanted to bring forth the holy seed, the souls of Israel that had been stored away from before creation until this point. There were 2,000 years of Tohu, during which Hashem was creating worlds and destroying them. and I am adding. These 2,000 years of Tohu represent creating and destroying worlds. This is the creation of the universe, which science says is 13.5 billion light years old. Yet actually, this is the current limit to humanity's ability to see distance. The souls had to be held back until a proper spiritual setting could be created. Humanity in general was originally intended to fulfill the role that after Adam's sin was reserved for the children of Israel. Thus, the souls that Hashem originally intended to send to the world in its first years had to be held back until a proper spiritual setting could be created for them. This setting was the children of Israel. The sages state that the world spans 6,000 years before the messianic millennium. The first 2,000 years of Tohu, chaos, disorder, 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of the days of the Mashiach. The year 2000, Anu Mundi, after creation, which is 1761 before the Common Era, coincides with Abraham's 52nd year. So roughly speaking, Abraham marked
has the joined
from the period of Tohu to the period of Torah, or Tikkun, since the rectification of reality can occur only through the Torah. Although the Torah was not actually given until 448 years after this, the sages state that the forefathers kept the entire Torah before it was given, and the creation of the children of Israel that began with Abraham was a preparation for the giving of the Torah. Thus, the period of Torah can justifiably be considered to have begun with Abraham. The year 4000 Anu Mundi, after creation, approximately the year 240 of the Common Era, is relatively close to the deaths of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Let me reread that. It's close to the death of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasiya, who is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who was the recorder of the Mishnah and the last effective leader of the Sanhedrin. Although the Sanhedrin and the position of Nasi did not disappear altogether, it ceased being the center of Torah for the whole of the children of Israel. Since it lacked the leadership of a Nasi, who was a great sage in his own right. And so it was that the leading sages dispersed, each one establishing his own school of Torah learning, which stood side by side with the Sanhedrin. But all these became diminished in standing and authority when compared to the newly arising Torah center that was being established in Babylonia. Many of the inhabitants of the land of Israel left at this point. Thus, this year may be considered to mark the point where the emphasis in Judaism shifted from learning Torah toward yearning for the redemption from exile. In other words, for the Messianic era. There were numerous proto-worlds preceding the creation. The sages also state that before the creation of the world, Hashem was creating worlds and destroying them. In Kabbalah, this is understood to refer to the fact that there were numerous proto-worlds preceding the creation of the world of Atzilut, the ideal rectified world, of which the subsequent worlds, including the physical universe that we live in, are just an imperfect reflection. Although necessary stages in the progression towards this ideal world of Atzilut, these worlds were scrapped in terms of being used as the ideal archetype or reality. The main proto-world, or imperfect precursor of Atzilut, was the world of Tohu. There is thus a thematic connection between the Kabbalistic world of Tohu and the notion of the 2,000 years of Tohu that preceded Abraham. And in fact, the 2,000 years of Tohu are a manifestation in this physical world of the world of Tohu in the spiritual dimension. In other words, the course of history in our physical world mirrors the spiritual course of history. In quotes, because this history occurs outside the creation of time in the development of the spiritual worlds. This is alluded to in the Torah's account of how various people fathered children and died, and then their children fathered children and died, and so on. It's basically Genesis chapter 5. Then he wiped them all out in the flood and replanted them through Noah until he began again in the generation of the dispersion, when the nations were destroyed and the evildoers were dispersed. In this way, the world of Tohu was wiped out, remaining so until Abraham rebuilt it as the world of Tikkun. This is the mystical meaning of our sage's statement that in the verse, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The Hebrew word is Bihi Baram. That the word for when they were created is a permutation of a word through Abraham, which is the Avraham. The Hebaram, Hebrew for when they were created, is spelled Bet Hey Bet Reish Aleph Mem. The Avraham, Hebrew for through Avraham, is spelled Bet Aleph Bet Reish Hey Mem. The fact that the word for when they were created can be permuted to the word for through Abraham implies that the creation of the world was in a sense dependent on Abraham, or at least his merit. Through the covenant with Abraham, the world of Tikkun endures, as it is written, were it not for my covenant by day, referring to Abraham, the sight the presence of impurities, Ishmael and Esau, as it is written, for through Isaac it will be called for your seed, holy seed. Until the Torah was given, the world's existence was unstable and precarious. The sages point out that in the verse, and there was evening and there was morning the sixth day, the day is preceded by the definite article, which is not the case with the preceding 5 days of creation. This, they say, is to connect the sixth day of creation with the day on which the Torah was given, the sixth day of Sivan, 2448. The work of creation completed on the sixth day is dependent on the acceptance of the Torah by the children of Israel. Without this acceptance, the world's existence is unnecessary or pointless. And therefore, until the Torah was given, the world's existence was unstable and precarious. This is indicated in the verse, were it not for my covenant by day and by night, I would not have established the laws of heaven and earth. Meaning that were it not for the observance of the Torah by the children of Israel day and night, God would have no purpose for the world and its laws of nature. Here, by day is taken to refer to Abraham, since the world was plunged into spiritual darkness until Abraham, and Abraham began to shine light. The covenant God made with Abraham was that he would make him the progenitor of the children of Israel, and that they would inherit the land of Israel as the ideal setting for accomplishing their mission, to be a light to the nations and disseminate divine consciousness through reality, making the world into Hashem's home. The verse, "For through Isaac it will be called for you seed," is understood to mean that Abraham's true seed, the genetic line of the children of Israel, is passed on only through Isaac, and not through Abraham's other son of Ishmael, and the sons of Keturah. And we will continue on part two, which is below. But you'll notice that if you ever need to come back to it, you can find it as the fourth link in the Parasha Vayera on the writings of the Arizal. Isaac embodied the messianic potential latent within Abraham. In the verse, "For through Isaac it will be called for your seed," the word for through Isaac can only mean in Isaac. And this is taken to indicate that only part of Isaac's seed will transmit the genetic line of the children of Israel. Thus, only Jacob plays this role, and not Esau, Isaac's other son. Then in Abraham, God found a vessel for all the seed of Israel, and the souls that existed before the world was created and existed in him. For until then, the world was in the order of Tohu, without the covenant. And that is why the world only was able to endure through the covenant of Abraham. And this is the mystical meaning of the idea that God created them through Abraham. Understand this. Since this was the case, God also wanted the soul of the Mashiach to appear and be manifest. The soul of the Mashiach was also stored away before the world was created, as it is said, and the spirit of Hashem was hovering over the water. Our sages said that this refers to the spirit of the Mashiach. It existed even before this. Since the purpose of the children of Israel is to make the world into God's ultimate home, it will be established fully only through the Mashiach. The descent of the souls of the children of Israel at this point in history had to be accompanied by the descent of the soul of the Mashiach. Otherwise, the Jewish people would lack the sense of direction and purpose necessary for them to accomplish what they were meant to accomplish. The fact that the spirit of the Mashiach was hovering over the waters at the outset of creation indicates that the world was created for the end to which the Mashiach will bring it. That the Mashiach is a necessary ingredient in creation, without which it cannot exist. The name of the Mashiach is listed as one of the seven things that preceded the creation of the world. The other six are the Torah, Teshuvah, Purgatory, which is Gehinnom, the Garden of Eden, which is the abode of the soul in the afterlife, the Throne of Glory, and the Temple. All these are related to the process of achieving the purpose of creation. It had been lost in Sodom, as it is written, "I have found David, my servant." And our sages said this means that God found the seed of David's soul in Sodom, in the person of Lot, Abraham's nephew. Lot fathered through incest with his daughter, Moab, who became the progenitor of the nation of Moab. Ruth, the ancestress of King David, was a Moabite. King David, of course, was the ancestor of the Mashiach. Thus, the soul of the Mashiach was latent in Lot, who had chosen to live in Sodom. It was therefore necessary that all three angels come at the same time. One came to find the souls of Israel and Abraham. One came to overthrow Sodom so that Lot could be extricated from there by the third angel and leave there and hide in the cave where God had wine waiting for him. So David, the progenitor of the Mashiach of the God of Jacob, could eventually be born. Therefore, the three came at the same time. Understand this. I am adding. The above paragraph is a different understanding of the task of the three angels. This is two of the 70 meanings of these words. Yet how do we reconcile the teaching that angels have one task to accomplish at a time? Michael came to announce the birth of Isaac, which is also the same as finding the souls of Israel and Abraham. Gabriel came to destroy Sodom and also transform Lot's wife to soul, so that the third angel, Raphael, could heal Abraham and also extract Lot to hide in the cave with the wine. Thus we see that these subjects are really the same essence of the action. Until this point in his life, Lot only had daughters, all of whom were already mature by this time. Therefore, it is unlikely that he would have had sons had he remained in Sodom and not have had incestuous relations with his daughters. Therefore, the incest had to be arranged so he could father the nation that would carry the soul of the Mashiach latent within him. Furthermore, the society of Sodom was so degenerate that it presumably could not have hosted the soul of the Mashiach, and therefore God had to extract it from there. Lot's daughters, thinking that God had destroyed humanity again, gave their father wine to drink in order that he repopulate the world through them. The sages say that God arranged for there to be wine in the cave where they fled in order for Lot to father the two nations of Amnon and Moab. Furthermore, just as Isaac issued from Abraham, the Mashiach, the future Isaac, issued from Lot as follows. The name Isaac, Yitzhak, can be seen as a combination of the words for the end of the live one, referring to the Mashiach. This is the mystical meaning of the verse he asked of you, life, and of the phrase, David, king of Israel, lives and endures. We say that particular phrase in the blessing of the new moon, which is done between the 7th and 14th day of the month, usually on Shabbat evening, Motzi Shabbat. Yitzhak is spelled Yud Tzadi Chet Kuf. Chet Chai, which means the end of the living one, is spelled Kuf Tzadi Chet Yud. I am adding. Another translation is the end of life, and this sounds like true chaos, yet the meaning is Isaac has the soul of Mashiach, which means that there is no longer a purpose for this physical world of pain and suffering. And using the same idea, the tool of Mashiach, spelled Mem Shim Yud Het, spells the name, phrase, name of life, spelled Shin Mem Chet Yud. The Mashiach actualizes the divine purpose of creation. The live one refers to the Sephirah of Yesod, inasmuch as the male reproductive organ has dead, meaning flaccid, and live, meaning erect states. The end of the live one refers to the crown, which is the glands of the organ. as this is the point where the drive of self-actualization is realized. It refers also to the Mashiach, the one who actualizes the divine purpose of creation. The verse and the phrase quoted both indicate the connection between life and the Mashiach. As we will see presently, this explains why Abraham had to be circumcised prior to fathering Isaac. The Arizal now discusses how Abraham merited fathering the Jewish people. This occurred because Isaac was born when Abraham and Sarah were old and had entered their primordial days. The verse, "and Abraham was old, having come into days," occurs after Sarah died, when Isaac was already 37 years old. Nevertheless, the Torah stresses how Abraham and Sarah were already old when Isaac was born. The Zohar interprets the phrase, "having come into days," to mean into the primordial days that always renew a person like the eagle. Alluding to the verse, "God renews your youth like an eagle." The primordial days are the six lower sephirot of Atik Yomim, corresponding to the 6 days of creation. Since Atik Yomim corresponds to delight, the source of life, an influx from this level renews a person's youth. Indeed, after this verse and ensuing story of Isaac's marriage to Rebekah, the Torah recounts how Abraham married again and fathered 8 more sons. As we said, the seed of Israel was transmitted through Isaac, and the souls of Israel pre-existed in God's thought, as it is written, "In the beginning, God created." And the sages said that this means, for the sake of Israel, who is called the beginning, it is written, "Israel is holy to God." They say they are the beginning of his produce. The word for "in the beginning" can also mean by means of that which is called the beginning. The Jewish people, the children of Israel, is one of the entities referred to as the beginning, as indicated by the verse from Jeremiah. "Thus in the beginning God created heaven and earth," and he can be interpreted to mean, "for the sake of the children of Israel, God created heaven and earth." The point emphasized here is the fact that the children of Israel are termed the beginning, indicates that they precede the creation of the world. Thus, the sages say, the thought of Israel precedes everything. His produce refers to Bina, whereas Israel ascended in thought. And this means that they, Israel, originate in the highest aspect of thought, Hakma, which precedes Bina. They therefore did not issue from Abraham until he was old. In Hebrew, the word is Zaken. This is alluded to by the fact that our sages say that the word Zaken is an acronym for the words "the one who has acquired wisdom." The one who has acquired wisdom is spelled Zeh, Shekana Chachma, and these letters spell Zion Kuf Nun. The proof of this is that when Abraham fathered Ishmael, he was 86 years old, in the prime of his years of strength. In Hebrew, the word is Gevura. The sages say when a person is 80 years old, he acquires Gevura. Based on the verse, the days of our lives are 70 years, or by means of Gevura, 80 years. At this age, Abraham was thus more connected to the Gevura, the left side, than to Hakma, the right side. He was not yet old. He was not circumcised when he fathered Ishmael. This was because Ishmael was not the end of the living one, the consummation of Abraham's drive to self-perpetuate and impregnate reality with his divine mission. Therefore, the glands of the reproductive organ did not have to be exposed. When Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. This is alluded to in the name Isaac, Yitzhak. Yitzhak is spelled Yud-Tzadik-Kuf. The numerical value of Tzadik is 90 and the numerical value of Kuf is 100. The allusions in the other two letters of his name are as follows. The Chet alludes to the 8 days from birth to circumcision. The Yud alludes to the Yud in the name Chaya, for that was Eve's name, Chava's name, before the primordial sin. Only after the sin was she called Chava. Eve was built out of Adam's side, and when this side was built into Eve, Adam's helpmate, in Hebrew, Ezer, an enduring seed, in Hebrew, Zerah, came into being to produce holy seed, for Israel is holy to Hashem. Abraham fathered Isaac at the age of 100, because only then did he achieve the level of divine Chokmah necessary for this. Before the sin of partaking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, Eve is not referred to in the Torah by her name, only as the woman or his wife. Only after the sin does Adam name her Chava, or Eve. This alludes to the tradition of that she had a different name before the sin. Before Eve was made out of Adam's side, they were connected to each other back to back. They could not couple in this state. Only when Eve was separated from Adam could they face each other and engage in marital relations and produce offspring. The words for helpmate and seed are permutations of each other. Ezer is spelled Ayin Zayin Resh. Zerah is spelled Zayin Resh Ayin. This indicates that the help that the female gives the male is the possibility to produce offspring. The Yud in Isaac's name thus refers to the original woman, who has formed into Adam's wife, so they could bear children. As we saw above, these children were intended to be the bearers of the messianic mission that was later given to the children of Israel. The birth of Isaac to Abraham when the latter was exactly 100 years old is also alluded to in the name Abraham itself. It may be read as a combination of the two words for a son at 100 years old. In Hebrew, bar me'ah. For at the age of 100, which is me'ah, he fathered a son. In Aramaic, bar. Essentially, Isaac. Abraham is spelled Aleph Bet Resh Hey Mem. Bar me'ah is spelled Bet Resh Mem Aleph Hey. Exactly the same letters rearranged. This is the meaning of the sage's statement, that when they were created, it is a permutation of Abraham, and that when he was old, he ascended to the level of Israel in God's thought. And the numerical value of the word for 100 in Hebrew, me'ah, is equal to the combined numerical value of the letters used to spell out the name Av, which is 72, and or Havaya, spelled out with Yuds, which signifies Abba in God's thought. The name Av, Yud, Vav, Dalet, He, Yud, Vav, Yud, Vav, He, Yud. The letters used to spell out the name Havaya here are Vav, Dalet, Yud, Yud, Vav, Yud, which is 46. And I am adding, this is referring to the concealed letters of the spelled out name. 26 is the gematria of the revealed letters, Yud Hey Vav Hey. 46 is the gematria of the concealed letters. And together they add to 72. Me'ah is spelled Mem Aleph Hey, which is also 46. As we have seen, the four spellings out of the name Havaya, 72, 63, 45, and 52, correspond to the four letters of the name and the four basic parts of Fim, specifically the name Av, which is 72, corresponds to the Yud and the Abba, the Partsuf of Chokmah. That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow being Tuesday, we have four classes. Our morning class will be at 7 a.m. West Coast time. At 11 a.m. West Coast time, we will continue our study of the book of Joshua. At 4:30, we will have our deep Zohar class. And at 7 p.m. tomorrow, we will have the Tikkuni Zohar. I bid you all Shalom Gadol. And much peace and serenity in your life, so that you have the moment to contemplate what we have just read. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol. That was quite a shock about seeing David coming from Lot. A lot to ponder.
I know. That was an eye opener for me too.
I'm surprised. In the book of Ruth you have the genealogy.
I know, but just never thought the spark of.
Well, we know that he fell. We knew that he was what fell in the klipah really low. Well, I guess that was why. But
exactly.
I don't think Lot's name is mentioned.
But I didn't mention it, but I had an afterthought as I was writing my commentaries to this. We've had this discussion, and there's all these questions. Why was Lot's wife turned into salt? You now know why. Because she had to not be there in order for the incest to take place.
Yeah, and that kind of thought pattern is the incest. You know, nowadays we think of that as really, really bad stuff, you know.
Well, even those days they thought it is really bad stuff. It's not good, but elsewhere the Ari explains that it's really fascinating. In order for certain high souls to come into the world, there's an argument between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Satan. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's time to bring this soul into the world, and the Satan says no. And since they're on an equal level, they have to come to a resolution of the conflict. And the way they come to the resolution is that the Satan receives something. And one of the things he receives is that this high soul has to come into the world through negative actions. Mm-hmm. So we have Avraham, who is born to Terach, the idolater. Mm-hmm. Avraham has his tikkun, he has his purpose of being in the world, but he's living, he's absorbing the knowledge of the culture and the community, which is from Terach, from idol worshiping. So he has to break through that klipa to reveal his light, to reveal his tikkun. Moses comes in a similar way because his wife, his mother, Jochebed, and his father, who is Moses ben Amram. Amram divorced Jochebed, and according to Torah law, they can't remarry. And so they did remarry at the instigation of Miriam, the prophetess. But that remarriage is against Torah law. So how can Moses come through that? And the answer is he has to come through this negative situation. Because without that, Satan would never agree to that soul coming into the world. And this is especially true with respect to the Mashiach, which is what this whole, the sparks of Sodom represent. Sodom was destroyed not because of the negativity of the world, although that is true, it was destroyed for that reason, but it was also destroyed in order to separate Lot from his attraction to the negativity. If you destroy the negativity, someone is going to be affected by that and turn away from it. And how did he turn away from it? He got drunk. Or his daughters got him drunk.
Mm-hmm. I often wondered where the wine came from. So we know it was put there.
It was concealed there. Mm-hmm. And if you follow the Midrash, he went from one city to another to the other. He moved away. It wasn't just that he walked into that cave. He moved from a small town that wasn't destroyed, and then he moved into the cave. So there's a lot of information we gather from the Midrashim. But without the Ari's essays, we would never pull all of this together.
So in a sense, the Khan has to have his program.
You broke up. Say again, Martha, you broke up.
In a sense, my thoughts is that Satan has to have some playground there for his negativity to develop. And that they have an agreement that, okay, you have negativity, but out of this negativity on the right side says, okay, now it's my turn to have my righteous souls out of this negativity.
That's well said. That's well said. these high souls can only come through these negative actions.
All right. And I guess another, and it comes from Sodom and Gomorrah, which was just a very negative environment. So it has to come from dark places to bring the light, right?
Correct.
Light pierces the dark.
Light
has
joined.
Revealed
in darkness. If you don't see darkness, you can't see light. You can't appreciate the light if it's not in the darkness that you see it.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is very, very interesting.
It also shows how much we have to do to bring Mashiach.
And these souls, these sparks of souls in Sodom and Gomorrah was from ancient times. This was the souls that were supposed to come into the world, but they were hidden or concealed until the process was processed. Is that like from the, you know, which I need to ask this question one day on Wednesday nights. Explain the north. You know, we always say the north node, releasing from the north, or I forget how that phrase goes, north, south. And you know, that kind of stuck in the back of my mind. And what's your north node? What's, you know, that kind of thing.
So we had it in one of the Ari's lessons not too long ago. That's when I got into the eagle. It was somewhere close to Passover, I think.
Okay.
I know it's one of the audience.
When we were talking about the four faces, the ox, the lion, the eagle, and man.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know I took notes on it. I came across my notes this week. So, and I haven't put them away, so maybe I can find them. I don't promise. But
now, these were the souls from Tohu, right, that you spoke of earlier? These were the souls in Sodom and Gomorrah were from Tohu? Tohu?
Yes. The souls of the Jewish people. The souls of the children of Israel are the souls from Tohu. And they were kept concealed. And the souls of Tohu are the 924 generations prior to Moses.
And that was all the souls of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Just right. Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities are, well...
The souls of the flood.
Now,
the souls were in the 974 generations of Tohu, but then they were kept out of the situation. Or that they were the first 10 generations from Adam to Noah. And then the flood takes place, and they're taken out of the world, and they're put in holding somewhere. And now it's time for the children of Israel to become a nation, because Abraham has come into the world and has started the process of tikkun.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So that is the beginning of that process of bringing the souls of the children of Israel.
So is that, did Abraham have the prophecy that the Mashiach would come out of Lot? Is that why he saved them and went after him, and that he asked God to?
There are many, many levels to that answer. Because Lot is the evil inclination.
Right.
So
we eventually get to Tamar and Judah. I think that's what shocked me the most in doing this Lot, because I would have thought it would be Judah and Tamar.
Well, it is.
Still have another generation or a couple of generations, but
Lot is prior to Judah and Tamar. But Mashiach has two lineages. Every human being has two lineages. Your mother and your father each have their own separate lineage, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So Judah and Tamar represents one of those lineages, and Lot represents the other, through Moab.
Wow. And now you have
an explanation for why what determines someone to be Jewish comes from the mother, but which tribe of the children of Israel he belongs to comes from the father.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Wow, this is full of astonishment. And we knew that David came from, Lot's daughter. I mean, David, but...
David comes from the mother through Ruth and
right, and Boaz.
Amram. There's I think it's four generations from Ruth to Moses. But we have to, the child of Ruth is not called Ruth's child. It's called Naomi's child. Mm-hmm. This essay leads you into many deep levels.
And why did it have to come through incest? Why? I understand that he only had daughters. I understand that. But why? Why did it have to come through incest? Why couldn't he remarry?
Are you saying why couldn't Amram remarry Yochevet?
No, why did the Mashiach have to come through incest? Why did Lot have to have incest?
Because the Satan and Hashem cannot agree unless the negativity is given some light. And the light that they're given is for the negative action. There is more light revealed out of darkness.
Right.
Than out of positivity. So, and who gets the light? Who's sitting at the door waiting to receive his share? Is the Satan. Oh. And the most negative action two people can do is incest. Having sexual relations with your daughter or your father, that is truly a negative action. if we look at all of the different ways of in Leviticus chapter 18 and 20, those are the prohibitions against, you know, not sleeping with your mother or your father's wife, or all of these different relationships. But what are they? We call them incest. They're a generic term, incest. But the most negative is the father sleeping with a daughter. And
I think because we put so much emphasis on Ruth and knowing that she was a Moabitess, I think somehow we just lost sight of Lot. You know, we just didn't think of the paternal side. And I think that was concealment on our part. That was us being in the Greek words with that thinking.
Well, in today's world, is that still the same spiritual light? Like in our Malkut and where we are today in the physical world, the father has said with the daughter, the light, Satan gets his share of the light. Does he get all of it? How is that?
He only gets the share of the light.
Okay. And the child, whatever that may be, I mean, that's pretty devastating. So that child will receive, I'm trying to connect it to where we live today.
Well, first off, we're not on a level to really be able to observe that, but it's good that we have the question. And what happens today if there's a child that's born to a daughter, where the father is also the grandfather? It's a nice way of presenting it.
Yeah.
So what happens to that child?
Well, sometimes they're very destructive to themselves. You know, some of them commit suicide. Some of them, you know, go through life with lots of mental issues.
Well, first off, most of those parents do not present the child that way. They usually present the child as the wife of the father's child. They try and hide it from society.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different ways and things that people do, you know, hiding their secrets instead of, you know, accepting it, but it's because society judges them. Did the child do anything wrong that the father and the daughter had relations?
No.
Why do we judge the child?
Well, I guess some do, but some judge the father.
Some judge the father.
Right.
Some judge the mother, I'm sorry to say, as well, because it's usually not her fault, but that's beside the point, or it is the point.
Mm-hmm. And that could happen, absolutely.
But we also don't know the soul of that child in a previous reincarnation, in a previous lifetime.
Correct.
That would have caused that soul to be born into that relationship,
but,
which we can't do.
Let me address the issue of the mamzer. And I don't know if you understand the mamzer, but it's a child who is fathered by someone other than the woman's husband. That child cannot marry anybody else but another momzer for 10 generations. So So the Torah is telling us that the child is to be judged.
So, okay, with that statement, the child is to be judged, so people do judge.
Yes, people judge. That doesn't make it right, but they do.
It says it is to be judged by whom? By the Creator or the...
Well, listen to the judgment. The judgment is that the child who is a mamzer cannot marry marry a woman, or the woman cannot marry a boy, a man, that is not also a mamzer.
Well, let's hope Hashem puts them together, because all their life, you know, and they don't even know. And then they take a mate that's not a mamzer. Could get in some big chaos.
You would be surprised at how often in our generation that occurs. Because there are many, many children who are married under a chuppah and under the rites of Jewish law. But then they get divorced, but they don't get a get. That happens many, many couples in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
So that woman is still married. And she remarries in the secular world, and they have a child. That child is a mamzer.
But then isn't the child asked to come into that situation?
The child comes into that situation as the effect of something he did in his previous lifetimes. So he comes into that situation. And if he never finds out that the woman that he falls in love with is going to be another mamzer, or if he does find out and he wants to marry somebody else who's forbidden to him. And remember, this child can also be a Kohen. If his father was a priest, he is a priest. That's why we have Bet Dins. That's why we have people who study these laws. It's very confusing.
Okay, here's another question. What if the father has incest with the daughter, but does not have a child of any sort? Didn't have an offspring.
Well, they have souls who are momsers. So there's always offsprings to every item of intimacy. There is an offspring. It's just not may not be a physical baby.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder we have COVID.
No wonder we have what?
COVID.
No, coronavirus.
Well, it's breaking the covenant. It's breaking the bridge. It's already situations that we see that we know about. You know, but then when we start learning about these other relationships that we really haven't, we don't think about, that we don't talk about, you don't hear anything about a mamzer, although we've heard it in classes before. But you never hear that spoken about in everyday life. And
you've never met a mamzer. Because nobody's taught it. The mamzer isn't aware of it, number one. Or if he is, he's not going to talk about it. not going to reveal it. So you've never knowingly met a monster. No one has.
Well, yes and no.
Okay. I'm generalizing, so.
Okay. And I just haven't thought about it before, so I'd have to think, you know, about different relationships of pregnancies that I knew about, but it's just not something that has come up in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Not often.
So.
Thank God.
Why was it set up that way?
Say again, Bernice?
Why was it set up that way?
Why is it set up that way?
Yeah.
Because the child has some action that it did in a previous lifetime that takes 10 levels of cleansing, which is why it cannot marry but another momser, because it has to be cleansing in that process, and that's 10 reincarnations.
So that's why the 10 years. Okay.
Not 10 years, 10. 10
generations.
Ten marriages.
Marriage. Okay.
And those actions are not those that require death?
Say again, you broke up.
And those actions are not those that require death?
That's quite a long time, 10 generations.
The answer to your question about the ten deaths, or his question is whether the momser requires death.
Yes, is that a sin unto death? When there's a sin unto death, then that being a momser or coming back as a momser for something they did before does not even fall under the category of a sin unto death.
No, it's the momser is not being given the judgment is not death. The judgment is partial karet. He is separated from the Jewish people because he cannot marry into the normal cycle. He has to, he's limited to a momser. So it's not a judgment. It's not one of the four deaths. It's a different punishment. I shouldn't say punishment. It's a different effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are lashes, there's fines, there's these four deaths, and then rarely, but, you know, relatively, there's this idea of the momser. And there are some other things also that are just, you know, not often, but they're there. But essentially, it's a form of the effect of the karet, of being separated from the children of Israel.
So what would happen, let's say, if the world would end? What would happen then to that person?
Well, when the world ends, that person will be totally cleansed. And the soul will return with the rest of us to the endless world. That's really what the meaning of Mashiach is. When Mashiach comes, we have 1,000 years of peace and serenity in the physical world, which is the effect of the body, and we've trained the body now, and so we all return to the endless world, including bodies. We take our bodies with us to the endless world. But the bodies existed in the endless world. That's what phase four is. It's the malchutz. Ultimately, it's the malchut. The soul is there on pin.
That's the stage we're in?
No, we're still training the body. I haven't trained my body well enough yet.
May I like to ask another question. It's on the same vein, but might be a little bit done, a little bit off the topic. But if you're on these, having to come back to do a reparation during your tikkun, would a mamzer be one of that would fall in the category of one of the tikkuns for you when you were born for your natal chart?
It would be shown in the natal chart if the person is sharp enough to pick it up. Or it'll be revealed if he does a chart with the when he gets together with his spouse to be, and they see if they're meant for each other. You go to an astrologer and they do a chart of the two of you together, and that includes names as well as the astrology.
Right.
But it would be there.
So could this all be changed by the parents marrying and then divorcing?
I'm not an expert in this area, so I will defer the question. I don't know. But it's also, while it may be interesting to our discussion, it's not necessarily going to change our lives. But that's really the purpose of our studies. It started out that way, because we were all talking about how we didn't really connect to that the Mashiach came from Lot. And what does that mean? And what lessons do we learn from that? Everyone have a beautiful evening. Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.
Everybody.